The teenage years can be tough, especially on those who support and cheer them on. Navigating the complexities of engaging teens in a meaningful way can be tricky these days. If you find yourself nodding in agreement, you are in just the right place. Here, you'll find the tools and resources you need to support the teens in your life as they discover how to embrace their individual skills, talents, and passions to create a life that surpasses their dreams. You'll hear incredible endeavors where communities empower their youth to have a real impact on the world. This is the Changemaker Teens Podcast with your guide, Linda Johnstone, mother, activist, eternal optimist, and founder of the Changemaker Teens Project. She's passionate about helping you support the teens in your life as you work with them to find lives of direction, purpose, and meaning. Here's Linda.
Hey everyone, it's Linda Johnstone and welcome to the Changemaker Teens Podcast. So finally, we're starting to get some good news around this pandemic. It looks like the world is starting to open up again. Yep, things are beginning to return to normal. Most places say masks are now optional, restaurants are allowed to stay open past 10, airlines are oversold again. Yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic about the future. But there's one place that is not so lucky. Our schools are still in a constant state of uncertainty, and that's really tough on the kids and the parents. Everyone is still required to socially distance. They have to wear their masks all day long. Many classes are still being held virtually on Zoom. And nobody knows what the fall is going to be like, especially with this new variant that's causing such concern. I just saw in the news the other day that schools have to plan for all possibilities for the fall semester, either fully online, hybrid, or fully in the classroom. Can you even imagine being an administrator or a teacher or a parent? Because if these schools stay on a hybrid or fully online schedule, then someone is going to have to stay home with the kids at least part-time, right? How do you plan for that? Can parents go back to work? Can they afford not to? Will we still have the shortage of babysitters and daycare that we saw last year? All of this uncertainty makes me wonder if homeschooling will continue its rise in popularity next fall. I'm thinking that it might. Not many people know this, but I was a homeschool mother too, but probably for different reasons than most mothers. To be honest, the decision to homeschool had nothing to do with my children or any of their experiences in school. They were perfectly happy in the public school system. Now, true, they were very young. My oldest was only 7 or 8. But the decision to homeschool was due to a life-changing experience that happened to me, not them. Something that caused me to rethink everything, including how I wanted to raise my children and how I wanted to spend more time with them. Maybe some of you are feeling that same way after the year we've just had. But let me try to explain. And remember, it was a long time ago. My kids are grown now. And a lot has changed with homeschooling and alternative education since then. So even before this major life event happened, I remember wanting something different for my children, even when they were really young, like preschool age. I wasn't thinking about homeschooling, just maybe more along the lines of a private school, maybe Catholic school. So I did a lot of research, and it brought me to our local Montessori school, which just happened to be located in the upstairs of the church that I've gone to forever, so that certainly helped. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Montessori philosophy, but the more I learned about it, the more I loved it. When I went in to meet the teachers, they explained to me that the children were the masters of their own lives while in school. There was very little structure, but that was by design. But what they lacked in structure, they made up for in learning opportunities. In fact, everything they did was a learning opportunity. The toys, the games, the books, the socialization, everything was grouped into stations and everything was there for a reason. And here's the thing. The kids got to decide what they wanted to play with or what station they wanted to visit next. And it worked beautifully. From a very early age, they were learning about consequences and cooperation and compassion. It was just fantastic. But here's what sealed the deal for me. And I gotta warn you, a lot of my friends and family were not fans of what I'm about to tell you, but it made perfect sense to me and I didn't mind. So here we go. The teachers did not spend all day correcting the children. Let that sink in for a minute. See, if you visit an average preschool, you will more than likely hear a lot of, no, don't do that. No, you're doing that wrong. No, we don't do it like that. So many no's. Until the kids come to expect that they're doing everything wrong. I didn't want that for my kids. Now, obviously, if someone was going to hurt themselves or hurt someone else, the teacher stepped in. But my kids heard a lot more yeses and attaboys than they ever did no's at that school, and I loved that. If the child put his shoes on backwards, that was okay. You know, like the left shoe on the right foot and the right shoe on the left foot. Eventually, they would figure out that it actually felt better when their shoes were on the right feet. But they figured that out on their own. And after that, if they put their shoes on the wrong foot, then they would notice that it felt wrong. And they would switch it up without ever hearing, no, that's wrong. Natural consequences. What a great thing to learn early in life. They would naturally learn that they had to wait their turn to play with a toy if someone else was already playing with it. And most importantly, the church secretary was absolutely amazed at how polite these kids were when they would pass her office. And since part of the school was learning French, these tiny little five-year-olds would pass her in the hall and say, "Bonjour, mademoiselle." I mean, how stinking cute is that? I loved it. So the decision was made to send my kids to Montessori school. And they absolutely thrived. They loved it. I loved it. We were all set. The plan was to send all four children to this school for the maximum amount of time possible. And they were in the process of getting certified from preschool to eighth grade, so it would have been an amazing educational experience. But unfortunately, as often happens, life got in the way and had other plans. See, I was an airline pilot in the United States when my children were little. I would fly 3 or 4 day trips while my husband stayed home with the kids. It all worked. My little family was humming along like a well-oiled machine. Everything just flowed until that day. I remember walking up the school stairs with my kids in tow on the morning of September 11th, 2001. Nobody was in the hallway, which was really unusual. And there was no noise, no kids playing, which was even stranger. When we passed the church office, I saw that everyone was huddled around the TV screen. I asked what was going on, and somebody said something about a small plane hitting the World Trade Center. Of course, now as a pilot, I'm thinking, wait, what? How could that ever happen? And while I was standing there, looking at the news, I watched live as the second jet hit. And I knew right then and there that I was in trouble. Now, for everyone else in the room, of course, this was an unspeakable tragedy. It was the most horrible thing any of us had ever seen. I'm not making light of what they were feeling or thinking, but I knew that their lives would probably go on as normally as possible. Well, as normal as can be expected when our country was under attack. But for me, as an airline pilot who, by the grace of God, was not at work that day, I knew that my life path had just been severely altered in a huge way. I remember I had to sit down. I was shaking, and I just stared at the screen as the news of even more airline crashes came in. The idea that this could even happen was just mind-numbing to me. I mean, I had friends flying that day. Were they safe? I myself routinely flew out of Boston, Newark, and Washington, the originating cities where the hijackers boarded. What was going to happen to my career? Now that this was even a possibility, how would I ever be able to fly again? I looked at the baby in my arms and the toddlers by my feet and wondered, how are we ever going to get past this? And as I divided my gaze between the disaster unfolding in front of me on the TV and my precious children innocently playing with their friends, I knew I had some serious thinking to do. So time went by, but nothing was the same. My pay was slashed by over 50%. My seniority tumbled. I was lucky to still have a job. The layoffs were historic. I won't go into all the details here, but the general feeling amongst airline employees was that these guys weren't done yet, and I didn't feel safe flying anymore. Passengers were doing really bizarre things, as if they were testing the system to see what they could get away with, and they were doing them on my flight, so I saw firsthand what was happening. Eventually, I would go to work and hug my kids goodbye and not know if I was ever going to be coming back home. It was just too much. About the same time all of this was happening, I was diagnosed with cancer. So that was it. I resigned from a career that nobody resigned from. I could no longer afford to live in fear. I had to get myself together and I had to take care of myself. So I left the airline and took a job as an air ambulance pilot in my hometown. The relief was overwhelming until I got my first paycheck. My anxiety went back through the roof. By now, I was a single mother of four young children, and my paycheck had just been slashed again. So by now, I was probably about 70% down from what I was making in the heyday at the airlines. So guess what was the first thing that had to go? Yep, Montessori school. It broke my heart, but I simply couldn't afford the cost, especially times four kids. So I went back to the drawing board. And I was talking to my friends about our public schools when someone asked me if I ever thought of homeschooling. I honestly have never considered it and certainly didn't think it would work for me, although I have no idea why not. I mean, airline pilots are pretty smart, right? We know about math and science and physics and all that stuff. But I wasn't a teacher. So in my mind, that was the end of that. Or so I thought. So a friend of a friend was a homeschooling mom, and she wanted to show me how she did it. Well, let me tell you, this woman had it down. They had converted their barn into a classroom, and she put the public school classrooms to shame. Honestly, everything was perfectly organized and laid out for a complete day of learning. There was a library and a music center and classroom and gym. She had curriculum books neatly organized by subject, teacher editions for her, and student workbooks for the kids. It was obvious that this mother was born to homeschool her five children. It was perfect, which is exactly what I did not need to see. I was instantly intimidated and overwhelmed with the idea of it all. Clearly, I was not born to homeschool my kids. I didn't see how I could do what she did, and honestly, I didn't even want to try. And yet a little part of me was intrigued at the idea of spending more time with my kids and doing things outside of the normal education paradigm. I loved the idea of family field trips to historic places and museums and planetariums and nature walks, anywhere to get a good look at life without having to just read about it in a textbook. So despite my overwhelm at the idea of being responsible for my children's education, I kept researching, and I decided to take the plunge. But I was most definitely alone. I gotta tell you, I did not have any support. I was on my own with my new adventure. And that made it tricky. What curriculum should I use? How much time was needed? What if I didn't know how to teach something? How would I do this as they got older? Would they get enough socialization? How about technical learning? Oh, the questions were endless. But we did it. And I'm proud to say we really grew as a family, and I have absolutely no regrets. But remember, 15 years ago, homeschooling was not anything like it is now. It was definitely challenging back then. Just trying to stay legal was hard enough. I had to prove that my kids were actually learning something. There was no option to just pull them out of school and not be held accountable. Socialization was also a factor back then. The longer I homeschooled, the more distant their friendships became. Now, we tried to keep in touch with everyone, but it was tough. And there were very few opportunities available for sports, which actually ended up being the deciding factor in my kids returning to public schools. My son was very talented in baseball, and I just knew I had to give him the chance to play. So off we went with yet another transition period, this time the transition back to public school. Fortunately, my kids were well adjusted and were fine with whatever position I put them in. But there are a lot of kids who are not so fortunate. In fact, social anxiety is a huge factor in education today, especially in public schools. Bullying, teen suicide, isolation, not fitting in, gun violence, disrespectful students. It all plays a role in how students learn or don't learn. And then we have the pandemic to think about. The world was thrown into an educational tailspin last year, and many are still struggling today. Parents don't have the same choices that I had 15 years ago. With the pandemic, schools were closed down for safety, and that was that. Children of all grades and ages were forced into homeschooling, and there was no time to research and think about options. Now, parents became instantly responsible for educating their kids, and they had to do it while also holding on to their own jobs, which probably also moved into their home, making it extra tricky. They had to teach the kids, get their own work done, make the meals, do their laundry. You get the point. And then there's the finances. With all the unemployment and job losses around the world, Yeah, last year was something else. But now we're starting to reemerge from our seclusion. Schools and offices are reopening, but something unusual is happening. It turns out we all got pretty comfortable at home. No more driving an hour to get to work, no more traffic jams and parking issues, no more getting up early to catch the school bus or rushing through breakfast or worrying about test anxiety. You know, we kind of like it at home. So the world now waits to see what the future is going to look like. Will office buildings be a thing of the past? What about shopping malls and grocery stores? And traditional education with brick and mortar school buildings and state curriculums and state testing? I mean, why is education a one-size-fits-all proposition anyway? Why is it necessary to make every student learn the same things in the same way? That's just so archaic. Certainly, school administrators can see that our children are individuals with different learning styles and different interests. Is it time to start rethinking traditional education? And what about you guys? Have you seen a difference in your child since they've been learning at home? Do they seem calmer and more relaxed? Have you noticed that the daily struggles are gone when it comes to doing homework or getting your kids to bed or even getting them out of bed in the morning to catch the bus? Has your whole family changed for the better with this new style of learning? Less bickering and arguing? I think it's fascinating. The pandemic forced us to look at things differently, and maybe we might want to keep going on this. Maybe we want to see what else might be out there. You see, when I was thinking about homeschooling, there wasn't very much in the way of options. You bought a curriculum from a homeschooling company and basically taught what was given to you. But now, oh my goodness, there are so many options available with more being created every day. Homeschooling is just the beginning these days. There are self-directed learning centers, learning hubs, learning pods, micro schools, virtual camps, online schools, hybrid programs. We don't even know all the exciting ways our kids will be able to learn in the coming years. But one thing just has to change. Your kids should be able to learn in a way that's best for them. Educators should not be teaching for the sole purpose of passing a test. What good is that anyway? If your child is not interested in a subject but is forced to learn it, what are they going to remember? Nothing, right? But if he or she is fascinated with animals or technology or a sport that they're really good at, then just sit back and watch. They're going to be asking you for more things to learn. Why isn't that the way we teach? But if you're anything like me, you could probably use some help with all of this. Nobody knows your child more than you do, but when it comes to finding the best option for his or her education, you really don't want to mess it up. This is important stuff, and a little guidance never hurt anyone. So where do you go? Well, you might want to start with an expert in alternative learning. And my partner Heidi is absolutely brilliant with directing families toward the best educational fit for their children. She is great at listening to your story and then sharing the best options for your situation. And Heidi gets it. She's a homeschooling mom too, but here's the difference. She cares about you, the mother, as much as she cares about your kids. She knows how tricky it can be to make the decision to take your kids out of public education. I promise, you do not have to figure all this out by yourself. First, learn about the options. Then consider what is best for your child and his or her individual wants and needs. Take this opportunity to keep the momentum going if you've seen a positive change in your son or daughter since they've been home. Just wait until they hear about all the exciting options that are out there for them. You know, we all want what's best for our kids, but sometimes we need a little help to know what the best is. I don't know what your reasons are. Maybe your child is being bullied or gets severe test anxiety, or maybe they're bored out of their mind in class. Maybe you see the frailties of our world and want to keep your child safe, close to you. Or maybe you want to spend as much quality time with them as you possibly can since time goes by so fast. I will never regret my decision to homeschool, and the kids are better off because we did. But I took the plunge without any support whatsoever. It was both scary and exciting at the same time. But I would have loved to have someone who knew what they were doing by my side. You're lucky because you can eliminate the scary side of the equation by making sure you're as informed as you can possibly be before you take that next step. There are a lot of resources for you nowadays. You just have to know where to look. Check out the Mother's Sanctuary at Changemaker Teens, or better yet, schedule a discovery call with Heidi. She'll steer you in the right direction. It might possibly be one of the best decisions you ever make for your child. I'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Changemaker Teens Podcast with Linda Johnstone. We hope you enjoyed today's show, but more importantly, that you feel inspired and supported to mobilize and ignite a spark in the youth of your community. Please like and subscribe to help others find the podcast too. We want to hear from you. Tell us your story and be part of the community on Facebook and Instagram at Changemaker Teens. To learn more about the Changemaker Teens Project or to help youth truly change the world, visit changemakerteens.com. See you next time.